Yeah, but I need it now.
Yeah, you guys can go today and go later.
What do you mean you'll join in me later?
Like, I mean, I'll probably walk in and scream even.
While we're doing the intro?
Yeah.
What's the point of that?
I'm technically there, aren't I?
What are you working on? Are you supposed to design something for your history class?
We're learning about prehistory. My smart idea to recreate weapons. And they decided to be a smart idea to give me the bow.
So you're making a bow and arrow?
Not the arrow.
Not the arrow?
I don't want to make the arrow.
It's incomplete without the arrow.
And I was like, what if I cheat into the bow I have already?
So is this following some sort of modeling from that time period? Or are you making it up from a picture of you?
The model.
Oh, is that what they sent you?
Except it has wood. I don't have...
We might have wood outside somewhere.
Yeah, but if they have the rope here, and you know, I...
Okay. Well, I'll stop bothering you. But I was recording. I may use some of this in the intro. The intro to the San Carlos Computer Club from September 28, 2021. I am Scott Stimson, your host.
Leave my room.
That would be Bibiana, who didn't know I was recording an intro. She's raging, but I'm in a hurry because I got to get it out for tomorrow. So until next time, tech on.
Well, that was the intro, wasn't it?
See, until next Tuesday, tech on.
Tech thy turn on.
There you go. That works. Hasta luego. Gracias.
I think that his sound was working beautifully until we all came on, and then all of a sudden...
How's it working
now? I can attest
to
it, guys. For about 5 minutes, it was perfect.
How's it sounding now? Is this working now?
Yeah, fine.
All right. Yeah, for some reason, I am maxing out my computer today. I'm not quite sure why. If I don't touch anything, it may work just fine. Well, welcome. Oh, let me turn this one off and turn that one on because we should be live now. Welcome. This is the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson, your friendly neighborhood tech guy, here to help answer any tech questions you might have. And I don't know, talk a bit about tech in the news, how it might affect us, the things that might matter. We meet every Tuesday at this time. And like I said, my computer is overwhelmed for no apparent reason. And I guess that's the next tech problem I'm going to solve after this meeting is, why is my computer having to work so hard? I've actually taken, some of you have noticed that in the Google Meet software, there's been a troubleshooter that will pop up. You'll get an orange dot at the bottom of the screen. If you follow that ellipsis menu and go into troubleshooting and help, what you'll end up with is a monitor of your system's resources. And I've actually set it up in a separate window here. If you guys can see this next to my list of topics, I am looking at the, it took me a little bit to figure out how to do this, but I'm looking at the connection, and I'm looking at, it says heavy system load, and it's showing me maxing out at about 100% CPU usage, but I can't seem to narrow it down to anything that I can eliminate. Though it doesn't appear to be all just from this meeting or from the recording of this meeting. It is, however, monitoring it, taking up resources as well. So I'm going to turn off the monitor now and hopefully keep myself out of problems with that. I hope everybody's doing well. I hope you've got a link to the document, at the very least a link to the next meet, so that we have a meet to move to when this one, it reminded me at the beginning, if I wanted more than an hour, we should purchase services, which I don't think we're going to do. So if you don't have the meet, we need the meet. Somebody could share the meet code from the document that I sent out. It's the same every week. If you got the email, you've got both meet codes. And hopefully today I also put the document link in there. So the document of potential topics or possible topics for today is full of stuff. And I hope that anybody that had topics, they've gotten a chance to add it to that list. And if we run out of topics, or if you want to suggest something now, does anybody have a topic out there that they want to make sure gets in today?
I don't have a topic, but I can comment on one of your topics that's important to
may be a few of you on the list. The topic was something like how to delete your Roku Wi-Fi definition on your TV.
Now, this was inspired by you, Dave. I actually put this link on there because I thought it was some pretty formal information for what you were saying.
But what the link referred to was not my issue, but it refers to where you have a TV that comes with the built-in Roku device. And so if you buy a TV like that, and you, while it's new, you say something like, oh, let me give this a try. Then later on, you decide that, well, I really don't want to use that Roku. I'm going to buy a separate one for some reason and use that instead. So what you then wind up with is that every time you power on, or even far more frequently than that, it could be even something as ridiculous as every 15 seconds, they would be checking and running code to see if that device is active and doing something. So it's a perfect example of a lot of things where a minor piece of software gets tried once, but starts doing executions all the time. And when you start adding up a lot of these, that's one of the things that frequently impacts your performance.
Hey, Dave, before we go on, I just want to verify what you're describing is very interesting, but it's not what you were talking about last week or the week before last. You were talking about having to remove the settings, the Wi-Fi settings, going into advanced mode of the Roku and removing those Wi-Fi settings so they wouldn't pop up in your network. It wouldn't inadvertently reconnect to your other Wi-Fi network. That's what we were talking about. And the link that I put out into these topics is the instructions for doing that. Isn't that correct? These are the, whether it's Roku TV or Roku box, I think these are the instructions you were giving us 2 weeks ago.
Well, it's part of it. I did that, which does just your Wi-Fi connection definition. Mm-hmm. But back to the Roku of how it's defined location-wise, it's back all the way to you have to delete the entire, do a system reset on the device.
Oh, and that's not covered here in these settings. That wasn't the intention of this.
That to me is important if you've ever gotten a new TV and you try out some of these things and you never use it again, but you can't, you know, you need to be deleting that sort of stuff because it's running all the time in the background.
Yeah, certainly. And it just any amp needs to be removed. You could probably apply that same logic to any of your devices.
You should
do a reconciliation of the applications you have in any of your devices.
And it's particularly relevant in PCs because the quality of the code these days is horrendously bad. You know, I see every day multiple examples of where the code could be easily improved or they've made a mistake on something. But that's my training to be recognizing that for performance reasons.
Yeah, well, and there's a lot of developers that they rely on the overpoweredness of what we've got to make things happen. They don't refine the skills.
I forget the name of it, my son has told me, but there's a term for, we don't care if your software is really finished, it's Friday, ship it anyway.
Well, was there any other comments? Has anybody else dug into the document and looked at anything that they found interesting? And just a very quick one. We don't have to spend any real time talking about it, but today is an announcement event day for Amazon. And so there's a slew of products that are going to be announced specifically or supposedly happening this afternoon. I think actually it's going to happen in about 3 hours. There is rumors of a drone, new version of smart speakers and smart home stuff. And there is a link to that in our document that'll take you to all the expected hardware that is being theorized about now. If you're looking for a new Echo, maybe this is the time to do it. I'm surprised they're not just handing them over to us at this point. They should give us $30 a year credit to use their smart speaker. That way they could track and do everything they're doing in good conscience. Because they paid me to do it.
Amazon gave me a free one last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I have yet to hook it up. I don't need them watching me that closely. They watch me enough as to what I order, so.
Right? My shopping habits are all there. I do everything on Amazon. I'm always there first. In fact, it's unfortunate for the little guy because often with my kids, they've got some purchase they want to make, some kind of I don't know, what do you call it? Fandom stuff, you know, like a cup with somebody's face on it or a sweatshirt that's a certain, and it's all based on some niche fandom that they've developed on the internet, maybe some YouTube internet star. And that stuff is not available on Amazon. Or if it is, it's in very poor quantity. And so you're searching for another market. And just the fact that you have to go outside of Amazon makes it a little sketchy. You don't really feel like doing it. I feel a little bad for those side stores, because it's less appealing to buy in that way and much more appealing to buy as an Amazon customer.
So did you tell us that you have Amazon Prime in Mexico as well as Amazon Prime in the U.S.?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And to follow up on that, I have even recently purchased two items in Mexico to me because they were cheaper than buying them in the United States and having them sent to me. And I've bought two items. I just, like, within the same week, I've bought two items in the United States and sent them to a U.S. address because that would be cheaper having them brought down to me than the ridiculous price that they were going to cost to bring, not even a reasonable price for what it would take to bring them down to Mexico. So there is no rhyme or reason. It's based on each product and its availability in its marketplace. And you need to check both. If you're working both sides of the border, like many of us do, then you have to work both sides of Amazon at that given moment for that given product, which is going to be the better price.
I have Amazon Mexico, and I get the Prime on TV here in Arizona.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So that's amazing, Linda. And you're paying the Mexican rate?
$889.
Yeah. It's like, that's like $43 a year, and you're able to take advantage of the movies down there. Wait, what you can't take advantage of is any free shipping.
No.
But you could, from the way Amazon explained it to me, you could purchase in the Mexican Amazon store, and things there have the potential for qualifying to free shipping to the United States.
Oh, well, I just use it for the movies.
Sure, yeah, that seems like a great price for the movie.
Even though there hasn't been a decent movie for a while on Amazon Prime.
No, we don't even watch it.
See, you're not even using it for the movies now.
No, we were using it to watch Bosch and some of those other, and they don't even have anything on there now, so it would have been a waste to even get it. No, there's nothing to watch.
I did watch can I give a recommendation?
Sure. We have no agenda and no set order. We can do recommendations now.
Well, it was on CNN, and it was called The Lost Boys.
Yes.
Oh,
and it was about this guy who doesn't know what his background is at all, and his parents really don't know either. So anyway, it's really good. I don't want to give it away, but it was a really, really good show, I thought. It's almost too convoluted to be true.
What kind of era is it? Is it American?
He was born in 1963 or 1964.
Say the name of it again, please.
The Lost Boys.
The Lost Boys on CNN documentary.
Yes, on CNN. Yes.
And what's the gist of it? He was orphaned, or?
Well, I don't want to give it away, but he isn't who they thought he was. How about that?
Ah, okay.
And it's supposedly true, but it's got so many twists and turns that it's very hard to even comprehend this man's life. I think he's like 58. I think he's 58 or 59 now, or whenever this was taking place.
All right. Well, we're going to take your word for it.
It was pretty good. I mean, for a show to start at 7 and keep me involved until 9, that should tell you a lot.
Oh, it's 2 hours. All right.
Yeah, I think it was 2 hours. Linda, did you watch it? You're muted, Linda.
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
It was good, though. I thought it was good. I thought it was pretty amazing. It's all wrapped up with Ancestry.com and his, well, not, they didn't use that per se, but his DNA and all that stuff. It was very interesting.
Well, it's a twist on the Golden State Killer then, right?
Well, yeah, but this guy's not a killer.
Was that, you know, was that Blast might, or Lost?
Lost, L-O-S-T.
Okay.
That might be an interesting premise for a TV show, is like each week you, like an anthology series where everybody's using the Ancestry database and all these stories pop out of it. Because
they kind of did that with some...
Deluge?
I think he's in Mexico already.
I think he's either there or he took the Appalachian Trail and he's on his way to Canada.
Oh, who are we talking about?
Debbie Petito was heard. She was actually here in Colorado Springs at a pizza place just down the road from me.
Dog the Bounty Hunter was on the case.
Oh, yeah, he's on the case now. Good.
Yeah, and he's saying for sure that it's the Appalachian Trail.
Is he?
Mm. Yeah.
I had just heard that a friend of that guy had said that he had always wanted to do the Appalachian Trail, so that's kind of why I thought.
So I need to just talk about the Lost. You said the Lost Boys?
Yes.
Yes.
Lost Boys is a story about the Sudanese boys.
No.
This one is called The Lost Sons. I just looked it up, and on CNN, there is a clip from a CNN film, The Lost Sons.
Really? I was sure it was called The Lost Boys. Huh.
Lost Boys keep sending me to other things. So Lost
Sons. Interesting. Maybe it is Sons.
I'm surprised. There's another story, The Lost Boys. I was surprised when you mentioned it. I just think of vampire flicks when I hear that title.
Well, I think of the Sudanese boys. I think of the ones that walked across, and yeah, so it was.
But have you seen the vampire movie of The Lost Boys?
No, and I won't. No.
I know it was a classic in its time. It had both the Coreys in it. Who else was in it? It was a hot movie. It was one of those young gun type movies, but it was vampires.
If I can just go back to the
Kiefer Sutherland's in that movie.
Oh, there you go. The very first topic we were talking about when Dave was talking about the Roku, you put that article out and I thought, this has nothing to do with me. I'm not interested in it, because we have a TV that is Roku compatible, I guess is what it is. And when we set it up, we did. We kind of checked out Roku, but I have hardly ever watched anything. I've tried to put different channels on and things. And I think we watched the election, the American election on it, you know. That's about it.
Well, if it's a Roku-based TV, one of the things that you can look forward to is having to deal with Roku just to make changes to your TV set.
Well, this is what I'm going to say next is, we also have for a long time been having problems with our Wi-Fi connection. So the next thing you talked about was the troubleshooting in the meeting. And I keep getting the little orange thing. It happens about every 10 minutes that my connection is weak, and it tells me to, you know, possible solutions, get closer to your router, all this kind of stuff. But I'm wondering if the two are not connected. So some investigation will be done here too.
Okay.
Another thought you, in that Judy. Same area that I had is when I put in the TP-Link mesh system and connected
and it. Thank you, Cheryl.
I connected it to my VPN router, and it would time out every so often. The little red light would come on, then go back working, and I finally realized it was competing with the same Wi-Fi band on the router it was connected to, and by turning off the wireless on that router, it solved my mesh system frequently failing.
So you were creating your own interference by having another Wi-Fi signal right around your Wi-Fi signal.
Uh-huh.
See, we've got the mesh system, we've got the Roku TV, but we've also got all the smart technology. And then there was something else that you just said that clicked. But yeah, we need to look into it a little bit more.
Cheryl, you guys have frequently had ISP problems too. You frequently had problems with your internet just sporadically having problems. And so it's really hard to narrow it down. I think the mesh eliminates a big issue there that people have with bottlenecks and bandwidth inside their home network. But that's what you're trying to do, is you're trying to narrow down. And it seems like every time you and Bill have narrowed it down, it has come down to an internet provider problem that comes and goes.
Well, Cheryl, what do you do in your motorhome?
Not much yet. You mean for internet connection?
Yeah.
we haven't been anywhere in our motorhome yet to try it out. Our AT&T phones have the unlimited data, unlimited Wi-Fi, and so we often are just using that. We don't have any other connections or anything. Our motorhome does have an antenna on the top, but and a TV. We have not experienced anything yet, though.
Well, moving on. Travel... Oh, go ahead. Linda, did you have a topic?
Well, I was wondering if anybody had ever used this Solus Wi-Fi that you can use in 130 countries and get Wi-Fi from them. It's kind of expensive, but I don't know. I still have so much problem in Wayabito, so I don't even know if we'll be able to use this TV this year.
So Wayabito's hasn't improved. I'm hoping that my neighborhood might get a chance of improving since I hear that Loma del Mar is going to be getting fiber optics.
Well, my problem in Wayabito still remains that he is basically, I thought he was Wi-Fi, but he's a hotspot. And that's why you can't get hardly anything in the rooms.
You mean he's using like cell service and then providing it as a hotspot?
I don't exactly know what his deal is. There's two big things up on the roof. He moved them. He used to have one by the bathroom, which my room was right across the driveway there from the bathrooms, and it was right on top and we had no problem. But when we went, we got nothing in the room, and that ticked me off. And I was trying all kinds of different stuff. I bought a little extender with me, and I brought other things, and nothing worked. Nothing. So other people that stay the whole 6 months went and got their own. They apparently rent some modems or something there, and then you can just buy it for the time you're there. So they went and put in their own Wi-Fis, like in the motorhomes.
Sure. It may be very similar to the way Juan does X-Pro around here.
What, you mean, because he does the same thing,
you might want to pursue that, is find a local person, a local company like X-Pro that's providing Wi-Fi in that manner, because it's really popular here in Mexico. You find it all over the place. Even here in the Ranchitos, there's like three different organizations offering Wi-Fi connections. And I've said before, I'm using Juan for my main connection right now because the kids are here doing school and I'm doing this. But there's two other that I'm familiar with that are doing the same kind of thing, and they're doing it from different antennas around town. And so it'd be a matter of just finding who's doing the antenna closest to you and buying service from them. And it's sketchy, but if it's sketchy or nothing, I'll take sketchy. I want better. I mean, I'm always in pursuit of better internet. I've reached out to Juan because I want more internet going out. Actually, right now, we're not having a going out problem, which is great because typically we are. But the upload right now from this connection is working just fine. And I'm biting back my words, because when I got disconnected, what I did is I moved my connection to purely Telmex. We're on Telmex right now. I'm not on Juan at all. I just realized that.
So Telmex is working better than Juan right now.
At the moment, for going out, for me, for my installation is not a fiber optic, it's a DSL.
Right.
It has a maximum of like 5 megabits up, and it normally doesn't get that. It normally gets below that, 4 or below. Mm-hmm. And just when I got disconnected just now, when you guys saw me disappear, I mean, it was obvious it was an internet failure, and I just moved. I just moved over to the Telmex connection to see if it would be better, and it is completely better.
So as far as the update for Loma del Mar goes, the only thing that I have heard is that my street, MM, they've already, that because that's the new part, there's already the Manguera in there. They don't know if they've pulled the fiber yet. So they are still just digging up the other streets to lay the Manguera to be able to pull the fiber through, I guess.
And this is within Loma del Mar you're talking
inside
about?
Inside Loma del Mar.
Now, are they doing that installation, or is Telmex doing that installation?
I don't know. As a homeowner there, I have not been informed by the powers that be if we are paying for it or not. If we as members are paying for it, it must already be covered by by the budget because we did not have to vote on anything.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, because it's a lot of trenching, and but it seems like it just makes sense the way things have been done in the past. It makes sense that Loma del Mar would trench, dig trenches, and
all
run
I know
hose.
Is that our guys, our maintenance guys, are not doing it.
Oh, okay.
Because they
that's
have
interesting.
Too much else to do. So drive over.
Yeah, I should go take a look at it. See what it's see where it's at. I'm really excited. I hope you guys. Yeah, if you guys get fiber optics before I do, I might want to cut a deal with you, Judy, and put an antenna at your house.
As long as it does not affect my view, I don't care.
All right.
And Telmex keeps sending me emails saying that there is no additional cost.
Well, that's awesome.
Don't you get those emails from Telmex?
No.
Oh.
No, there is no, so far I don't see any plan to bring fiber optics down my road. However, I have talked to a couple of techs that are interested in doing a project from the road where there is fiber optics over to my road.
Mm-hmm.
But it may be an extravagant expense for the installation, because I'll probably have to buy all that infrastructure. But they can put it right on the pole and bring it to me. I wonder a little bit about a hurricane.
Well, see, ours is all going to be underground in Loma del Mar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Especially because you don't have to worry that much about the things, right, whether there's water or something that gets. I know that was the problem with the old infrastructure, was that when it would rain, those trenches would fill up with water, and it would cause problems with the copper wires. And with fiber optics, that's not an issue.
Really?
Well, it's all light, and so what they have to do is weatherize the junction points. But the cable itself, even if it got stripped by accident, the water wouldn't be causing the interference. Essentially, I think you'd be in a works or doesn't kind of situation. Whereas Loma del Mar, with the current phone installation, you're always in this maybe works.
Right.
It might work. It sort of works. It works when everything dries out. It doesn't work when the wind blows.
I have fiber optics here in Colorado, and I was not aware that when I got fiber optics, that meant I no longer had a landline phone. So therefore, when the power goes out here in Colorado, I have no phone. I have no internet, and therefore I have no cell phone service because I can only use Wi-Fi service here at my house.
Yeah, that's absolutely, we've talked about it before.
I know,
and
that's
absolutely
what scares
true.
Me about.
The traditional phone technology is 100 years, over 100 years old, and it will continue to work without any power in your house.
Right.
And if you are concerned about those kinds, I have to say we've probably, the flood in 2008 was a good demonstration of that. I knew that there were people all around town that had no power, but they were able to communicate because their phone lines were still working. Our office had lost the analog line, right? You couldn't make phone calls to our office for the longest time. However, the digital line continued to work. And so Sony was running internet off of batteries when she needed to check in because there's no power in the house. But she was able to plug the modem into a battery and get an internet connection.
See, that's what I fear about going with fiber optics in Mexico at my house.
Well, I don't know if that's genuine concern in this day and age, because you're
concern in this day and age in Colorado Springs, let me tell you.
Okay, but we're talking about your house in Mexico,
yes.
Right? Yeah, and your house in Mexico is right around the corner from a dozen sources of internet.
Fiber optic connection here in Mexico has a connection port right on the fiber optic device that goes to the telephone line.
Yes.
So if your power goes out, your phone
probably still out, but I have a UPS which drives it for 50.
Well, that's me getting here too.
What you're saying, Dave, is very common, and it's common with cable installations as well, is there's a VoIP connection in your router, and you can plug an analog television or telephone into it, and you have a telephone number.
Well, that's for the router. It's in the connection termination from fiber optic.
My wife was sneaking in and giving me a smoothie. Kefir.
Ew.
That's She caught me the other morning. She gave me a smoothie, and before she got out of the house, I didn't think she was paying attention to me, but I threw it back in the blender, and I stuck a bunch of ice and a bunch of blueberries in it. I'm like, oh, this has got to taste better than this. This can't be as good as this can taste.
So, Dave, you're happy with your fiber optics, though, in Mexico?
Oh, we've had it 5 years, and it's been great.
Okay.
But, you know, it's called some of the wealthy Mexicans in the neighborhood, I'm sure, got it organized.
Mm-hmm.
They even came in and installed the equipment inside the house when we were gone. They went to the entire neighborhood, and whether you were here or not, they just did everybody.
That's awesome. Well, and the kind of the point I was trying to get at is that one outweighs the other. The amount of reliability and quality from that kind of connection is going to be much more valuable than that occasional. I can't think of another time where I was concerned about the landline, except for when we had that flood and we went days without electricity. I don't know how worried I would be about internet in my property if we went days without electricity, because I have a pump that pushes water through my house. So I've got much bigger problems than getting connected to the internet if we're going days without electricity or making phone calls, assuming that that we've got cell everywhere. It just doesn't seem like a realistic concern at this point.
Okay.
So I have a question. Dave, what community are you in? And second question, what is in Villahermosa? What's available? Is there any fiber optics up there?
I don't know about, Villahermosa. Basically, the problem is the farther you are from the central office, the worse the normal service gets. So therefore, priority goes to installing fiber with those people who are the farthest from the office.
Well, hold on. The priority goes to those that they can service off of trunk lines that already exist.
Okay. Well, but yes.
Yeah. I mean, the fiber has to be out in your neighborhood for them to prioritize getting it to you.
Well, but that's where they put the fiber in first. Trunk line was out to the more outlying locations.
And but so, there are definitely communities. Well, Loma Del Mar is a perfect example. They haven't had a trunk line near them until just recently.
Yeah. In our case, the trunk line goes to the entire west side, as far I'm pretty sure. I'm actually in what's called Vista Marina, which is part of Marina Real. And now you get to another interesting thing I might comment on, is our entire development of about 125 sites and about 100 plus homes is legally a condominium. So we have only one of things. We have one sewer connection. We don't pay the extra on a sewer bill. We have one building permit. We basically don't have building inspections because of that.
Because Loma Del Mar is also a condominium.
So I was thinking that would be the same rules that might apply out there at Loma Del Mar, that they will only do one. You know, now the fiber stuff comes into every house.
Right.
But hey, Dave, in your neighborhood, did you guys pay that installation or did Telmex take care of it?
Telmex took care of it. No additional cost for anything.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah.
Okay, Cheryl, are you renting in Villahermosa?
Yes.
Okay, well, a lot of people down there use Mega Cable. They don't use Telmex.
I was going to say our office is in Villahermosa.
Yeah.
And there is no fiber optic in that area as of yet.
And it seems to me that, James, where you and Caroline at Tech Alive, isn't the internet really crappy there too?
Yes.
It is, but I think the fiber optic is going to be connected there too because we're right on the highway.
Well, we can all hope.
Yeah. We live in hope.
Well, we were really lucky of where we wind up buying, because we certainly couldn't afford where we're living these days. We were in relatively early, which, you know, things went up drastically after that.
What's the name of the subdivision there, Dave?
It's Vista Marina, where the new restaurant is in the old Marina office. We're actually 5 doors down from that restaurant on the water. So it's an interesting thing. We've got, there's a family called Beltronas down the street. Our next door neighbor is, his brother used to be governor. So there's some super wealthy Mexicans in the neighborhood.
La-di-da.
Well, oh, yeah, it's kind of funny. We're going to have to barbecue over at your house.
Yeah, you know, things get done here, and you go, how'd that ever happen? And I'm going, well, guess who's in power around here?
That's right. That makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Likewise, we have absolutely no theft, hardly anything, ever, because you'd be a fool to steal from these guys.
So
okay, yep. who's got Jason other Carolyn, topics? Oh, James, sorry, Cheryl.
We've been. I'm not sure if you've been there, but Carolyn's been there in that community. It's where we played euchre last year. So there you go.
Yeah, I've seen some pictures of some of those places. It's beautiful.
Yeah. We have 4 minutes left on this meeting before we go too much.
Oh, maybe we should be working our way over to the other one, at least get it up in another tab.
It's ready to go. Chat room.
Thank you, Cheryl. That's very helpful because all I had to do was click on it, and now it's opening up. Did you guys see that William Shatner is slated to go into space? Captain Kirk himself? Yes, I put a link in the document.
Is that alive or dead?
He's 90 years old.
Well, he might be dead when he comes down then.
Well, and there's been speculation on whether he's purchased it. I don't think he's purchased it. If you're Jeff Bezos, wouldn't you just let the Shatner go to space? It would be the best PR he could do for his...
He couldn't pay for that.
Right? Yeah, but is he interested in PR?
Bezos?
Yeah.
Oh. Of course.
I'm sure, yeah. Well, he wants to endear us to his company because it's going to rule the world fairly shortly, probably within my lifetime. All right, something weird is going on in the other meet. I'm all frozen up trying to let Fred in. I'm going to refresh and jump back in again.
You can't let people in the last minutes. Exit full screen.
You'll be able to join in just a minute. Yeah.
It says to me that I can't join the other meet as long as I'm in this one.
Okay. Well, so then get out of that meet.
I'm moving out of this one.
Okay, right. Judy, we'll meet you there. I just got these people waiting in, and bye so bye. I am going to leave the first meet now. We'll see you guys there.
Hi, Jim.
All right. Hey.
Hi, Cheryl.
How's the weather
today?
Hi, Judy.
Jim? Official intermission in our meeting.
I'm in beautiful Ojo Caliente.
Nice. At the hot springs.
I am indeed. Actually, I'm just in the RV right now. But nonetheless, after this is over, I'm going to go take a soak.
Aw.
Here
sounds
comes
lovely.
Bill. All right. Well, you're welcome to read more about William Shatner going into space. I think it's one of the most William Shatner things to do. If you check out the links on the blog post I will post later this week. I finally got last week's meeting posted this morning, but you'll find it there. Or you can always go back to the document I've shared with you guys. If anybody's having any problems with the shared document, let me know and we'll sort them out. Did we leave it?
I got a question.
Okay.
Let's have a little pool on who's going to be the first to let Buzz Lightyear go to space.
To infinity and beyond.
My guess is it would be Branson.
Branson, yeah.
He just seems like he would be more appreciative.
I would think Mark Hamill would be the next one that goes to space, right? Luke Skywalker, somebody like that. I think one of the best things about letting somebody like Shatner go to space is it's just saying that space is ready for anybody, any age, at any time. That's where we're at with the technology. I think it's a real positive message to send. I don't know if it's true, but it's a positive message to send. Are you guys still there? Did I lose you?
Yep.
Yep.
I also saw this really interesting article, a quick one from NPR, that TikTok users are using Nancy Pelosi for stock advice. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. Oh, here comes Linda. Apparently, there's this trend on TikTok now.
Stock advice?
Yeah, there's this trend on TikTok now where TikTokers are putting out videos about the stock movements that are happening from Congress people. Now, in Nancy Pelosi's case, and I imagine the other congressmen, it's their significant other that's working in investments. And so they're just, you know, correlating these movements, thinking of them as good, so thinking that their disclosures of where they store their money are good locations to put your money. And so these TikTokers are encouraging each other to make the same investment moves when they find them. This is a computer news story because TikTok's involved.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and it's what it does is it builds on the Reddit, the GameStop stocks mm-hmm. that have been kind of like this Robin Hood story of stealing from the rich and giving to the poor, and the way that they're investing as a group, it just highlights even more so that this investing is much more like gambling, much more like a game than actual value that's being created out of it. In this case, you're investing based on a concept. In this case, the concept is, what are these Congress people attached to, and what are their investments look like? And legally, they have to disclose stuff like that. And so it's not hard to follow those activities. And the people that are learning about it, just like these Wall Street bet in Reddit, now this is a whole group. Talking tens of thousands of people following on TikTok, all making the same investment moves at the same time. Pretty soon it's going to be a chicken or the egg. Was it actually going to have that kind of uptick before you made the investment, or when you've got tens of thousands of people making the same movement at the same time? Is that what made the investment? Is that what made the uptick? You investors out there, you might actually end up having to watch a social media like TikTok platform, simply because that's where the changes are happening the quickest. I think it's amazing to think that these hedge funds, you used to give your money over to these hedge funds that would have all these insights, and I don't know. That's a good question. Cheryl's asking if my parents need help getting into the meeting again.
I just noticed that they were there.
There's a good possibility they do. What I do last time, I sent Mom a link on Facebook. We'll try and bring that up.
I think you sent her a link in the Facebook Messenger or something. Yeah.
So I'll do that real quick while we're talking. So investments, you're an independent investor these days. It sounds like you have to be a Reddit user and a TikTok subscriber to keep up with whatever the latest trends are, to be part of that flash mob mentality of investment. The day trader, well, back in the 2000s, we would consider it the day trader stuff. I'm still trying to bring up Messenger here. Anyway, I thought that was interesting, and I will leave that link on the blog post for you guys, or you can find it in the document that we've been sharing. There's Mom. Oh, why don't you want to let me in? Did she get in? Are you here, Mom?
I'm in. I'm just not presentable, and it means everything else is kind of going wrong in my world right now.
Aw.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm here. Yay. I don't know about your dad. He may still be lost.
It does take longer to get from Alaska to...
We dealt with the lost voice already, Dave.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Lost parents, not lost sons, but...
So I heard it's already getting cold up there.
It is. We have snow down the mountains now. It hasn't snowed where we live in town, but on the higher, the part of the town that's higher elevation, they got quite a bit of snow.
Well, I know somebody that drove up there from Homer to get their motorhome on a trailer. And they said it was snowing on the way up there from Homer.
Yeah, it was a lot of snow that fell for the rest of Alaska, or this part of the Alaska.
Yeah, I saw pictures of trees that weren't ready for it.
Pardon?
I saw pictures of trees that weren't ready for it. Like, it's just not time for them to be collecting snow, and they were all bent over, looked like they were going to suffer.
Yeah, our friend Jim Nesbitt said they were laying on the ground at his house.
Oh,
yeah, because it's just it's too
birch,
soon.
So they stopped. Yeah, usually we get our first snow a little bit before Halloween.
Those are my fond memories, going out trick-or-treating in down coats. I'm sorry, Linda, go ahead.
Well, how long do you keep a hotel open?
Oh, well, right now we're not open at all.
How do we keep a hotel open?
No, do you? Oh, you're not open.
No, it's a summer business.
We've been off 2 years.
Yeah, because of COVID, we've had 2 years off.
Oh, so you didn't open this year?
No.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
No, and it's feeling like something's got to change if we're considering it for next summer, but that's a discussion for my mom and I. It's not for you guys.
Oh, that'd be a discussion. We have so many of those that we never come to a conclusion.
So did anybody bring any other topics for our computer club meeting? Because I've got more topics I can run down. Oh, go ahead, Cheryl.
Sorry, I watched a couple of things. I finished that upload series that I talked about last week, or Bill and I talked about. He quit after about halfway through the second episode, but I binge watched the whole thing.
It was too damn predictable.
But there was a surprise in the end.
What was going to happen?
You missed the surprise, Bill.
Oh, well.
You walked out before the end credit scene.
The twist, the plot twist. I missed it. Yeah.
Now you're not going to understand the sequel season.
Well, I'm not going to watch the sequel season. I'm going to be busy
really
watching.
Miss out.
I started watching Foundation this week.
Oh, I haven't started.
Yeah, there's two episodes out now.
Is it great?
Well, it's great in its own way, but it's not following the book. The general idea is there, but I don't recognize much of anything out of the book.
How long ago did you read the books, Bill?
1967. It was one of my
better memory than I have.
Is it one of my
course, actually, for me, it was probably 1957 or 54. Yeah. That was my really young days.
I probably put down the Lord of the Rings and picked up Foundation Trilogy in the same step.
Yeah, I was easily 10 or 15 years before Lord of the Rings.
Anyway, and then I started reading iRobot, and it finally connected up with Foundation people. I remember the first three in the trilogy, the Foundation trilogy, quite well, I think. And after that, it gets really gray, and it's sort of like Dune. After the first couple of Dunes, it gets really convoluted, and I lose track. But Dune is up this fall, too, new movie.
Yep.
Has it come out yet?
No, I think
next month,
December 17th, I think, is when Dune is up.
Well, that'll be exciting. And I have never read the Foundation series, but I'm very aware of it. And so I think I'll be very satisfied, because I imagine it's larger than life.
Like, it's very, very visually rich. You know, it's a well-done production. And it just doesn't follow the book as well. Now, I remember you saying that you never read the books because it ruins the movie for you.
Yeah. There are certain authors. I've never read a Stephen King book. Never. Not one.
Where are you watching this?
Should read Carrie.
Oh, and Stremio.
Thank you.
I watch everything Stremio. I don't even bother going to any of the others anymore.
It gets a little dissatisfying. We went to go watch something the other day, and we were like searching through Prime and searching through Netscape or Netflix, and finally just gave up. We knew it was out there somewhere, but we just wanted to watch it. We didn't want to spend our time looking for the service that had it. So we're on Stremio.
Also, the new James Bond movie comes out next week in theaters.
Oh, something to look forward to, yeah. Say that again?
In theaters.
In theaters. Oh, only in theaters. It's not coming out to streaming.
I don't know. I haven't seen it ever. I don't know. And just to confirm that Cheryl was correct, it is The Lost Sons.
Okay.
Not Boys. It is. The Lost Sons. I put that in the message, but I just wanted to confirm it's The Lost Sons.
Hey, I've got two recommendations for TV shows.
Wait a minute.
On Netflix.
Can I just ask, what is the new Bond movie called? Does anybody know that?
I don't remember. I know I've seen it, but I do not remember what it's called.
Okay. And then I had one more that I watched. It was just a movie I watched last night. Sam Elliott is in it. It's I'll See You in My Dreams.
I'll See You in My Dreams. I haven't heard of it.
It's on Netflix.
Yes.
You're mentioning it because it was good, right?
Sam Elliott delivers every line with a cigar in his mouth.
Yeah, he does, but he never lights it. So there you go. Because he's trying to be healthy in his old age. But yeah, it's a definite chick flick, but it's fun.
All right. Well, I had two TV shows I wanted to mention. I want to mention last week, but I didn't get a chance to. They're both on Netflix. One is the Turning Point documentary. I don't know if you've been paying attention to, it came out right around the 20-year anniversary of 9/11, and it's a mini series that goes into all the history that led up to it and around it and what happened afterwards. And so it's not focused entirely on the towers coming down so much as it's focused on all the intelligence that was discovered beforehand and all the changes and things that happened afterwards. It's very, very fascinating. We binged right through it. It's called Turning Point, 9/11 and the War on Terror documentary. And then for something not so cerebral, there is a program that is just started its third season on Netflix from Britain called Sex Education. And I don't know what, I didn't know what to expect from this show, but I will tell you, we are laughing out loud. It's adult content. There's a lot of boobs. If you're into boobs and naked people, there's a lot of it. It's so funny. And it's got Gillian Anderson in it, the Scully actress from the X-Files. Not that this has there's nothing supernatural or anything like that happening. There are no aliens. It's all based around a middle school in England and the interrelationships between their students and the community, and it's just hilarious. And the foundation of it is they're all in this puberty mode, and they're all learning and discovering sex right at this moment. And there's a number, and Gillian Anderson plays this character that's a sex therapist, and so she ends up involved in all these little dramas that are going on, even though she's not the main character. It's the son of her character that's really the main character of this. And the first season is this idea that he's gotten almost through osmosis his mom's ability to offer advice, and so they set him up as the resident for the school sex therapist for all these teenagers that have all these questions that they don't want to ask their parents, and they want real good advice. They don't want to ask their teachers or their parents. It's a real easy recommendation. Right from the very first episode, we're laughing out loud.
Even though he has no experience.
Even though he has no, yeah, he has theoretical experience. He's a sex therapist like I'm a mechanic.
We just have the shade tree.
I know that you have to turn those bolts. So yeah, and part of the subplots are whether he's actually really good at it or not, his own relationships. But it's vast and rich. I mean, it's not a shallow comedy. There's a lot of stuff going on. A very, very easy to watch and binge. You just want to know what's going to happen next. And they just released their third season of this. So those are my two for this week: Sex Education and Turning Point, both shows on Netflix.
Hey, Scott.
Yes, sir.
A quick side question. What's the weather like down there right now?
Right now, it's awesome. Right now, it is 84 degrees.
Awesome.
It is awesome.
84.
It's 84 right at this moment. It will probably go up above 90 because that's what it's been doing. But it's been coming down. It's going up later in the day and coming down earlier in the day.
Going up later in the day and coming down earlier. That's good to hear.
So I'm still not big into the 91, 92 degrees, but at least it doesn't stick around very long.
That's good. Okay, thanks. I didn't mean to change the topic.
And the humidity is what?
Still miserable.
Good question.
Yeah, I mean, you can feel it. It's breaking. Each day it's a different experience.
Good.
But yeah, it's not quite gone yet. You can feel it, though, in the house and here in my office. The air conditioner just doesn't have to work as hard. It's much easier to keep things cool.
Perfect here in Arizona, Judy.
I know. It's been really hot, though.
We've had the air off for the last 3 days. You don't even need it on.
Oh, nice.
It's wonderful. Wonderful.
See, it's so nice here that we have bouts of turning off the air conditioner.
Pardon? Green Valley.
Where are you in it? Green Valley.
Green Valley.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Well, where are we at? Do people have more recommendations they'd like to add to our list? Recommendations are not limited to movies, TVs, but also books or websites or applications we should be looking at. Is there anything people would like to add? I do have some more topics, though we will be winding down in a little bit here. I saw a article this morning that says that Apple Wallet is about to get a certified COVID-19 card. So that's cool.
I was going to mention that one. I looked at that too. We have vaccine passports now in our province because they finally decided that they were going to allow us to have them. So I think Bill mentioned last week about how they put them out and you could go in and change them. You could go in and change them to whatever you wanted to. So people were playing around with it. And they print, and they kind of are halfway between a business card and a dollar bill. So the size is really funky. And you just print them off yourself, so there's nothing official about them. And we have to show them the passport to eat inside, to go to any non-essential services right now in Alberta. We are very, very much hotspot, losing lots of people every day. And it'd be nice to get out of here.
So. It's 10,000 deaths, isn't it? Something like that now?
Yeah.
Quite high. We lived on the island for so long. It's still 58 deaths on the island for just a little under 1 million people. But we're in Ontario right now, and so it's a different ball of wax. But they're asking for proof of vaccination before you go into a restaurant here, too.
Yeah.
In Alberta, we have 10% of the population, and over the last 2-3 weeks, we've had over 50% of the cases and deaths.
In Canada, wow.
Yeah. Wow. 10% population to 50% of the COVID.
Hey, are you in your motorhome? Where'd Jim go?
Oh. He's right there. Oh, maybe he's Rose.
I think he said he was in his motorhome earlier.
Yeah, that's his motorhome. Yeah.
Yes, they're in Maxine. They're on their way down to San Carlos, but I think they're in New Mexico still.
Oh, yes. They're in New Mexico.
So you're saying that you have to show proof of vaccination to get into a restaurant or go to a Costco or something like that?
Not Costco. Costco is considered essential, which is rather interesting. But, you know, grocery stores, medical offices, drug stores, anything like that, you do not have to show. To dine in at a restaurant, to go to a gym, to go to a movie theater, you have to show proof of vaccination.
And that's it is in New Orleans as well.
They said they were going to do that here, and then we were in green now, and it's never been implemented.
You guys were talking about this is the book I'm reading. Whoops, it's backwards. Can everybody
House
see
of
it?
Trump? Trump or...
No, we can
House
see it,
of
right?
Putin. We can see it perfectly.
Okay, there you go. That's you can see it's like dolls.
Whoa.
Nested dolls. Yeah.
Yeah, nested dolls. So you can see how it is there. Anyway, it's interesting book. I'm 100 pages from the end, and it's coming to a crescendo.
So does it go into the relationship between the two administrations or the two individuals?
It's not so much the individuals as their networks. Their networks. It goes through and like the connection between Roger Stone and Manafort and the Russian mafia, that sort of thing, you know.
Oh, okay.
It's all interconnected. And right now they're talking about this whole idea of just destroying truth in Russia, and that's something that they did, and they long before it came to be something in America, where people didn't believe in what was you don't know what is true because everything is disinformation. So anyway, that's what I'm looking at now.
That's definitely the way it's left us, right? It left us questioning all information. Did you see the House of Trump, House of Trump, House of Putin? That's the name of it.
Yeah, and it's by Unger. He's from the New York
Unger House.
Craig Unger. Putin. So It's a bit of a slog in some ways, but if you get a skimming technique to reading it, you know, you don't have to go into all the details of these Russian names that are about this long, and they all look the same after a while, you know.
It might be interesting as an audiobook if it's available, listening to people have to pronounce those names.
yeah. Although if they could pronounce the names, they probably would have such a heavy accent you might not understand the rest of it.
Well, have we got any other recommendations, other topics we want to bring up?
Anybody have any words about the Huawei thing? Did you guys talk about that when I wasn't here? I've been messed up on the time. I keep coming in an hour late because I'm way over an Eastern Standard or an Eastern Daylight Time. So I guess I got to get here at noon instead of 1 o'clock. But
well, I'm not sure what the Huawei thing was that you were referring to.
Well, Meng Wanzhou, it was sent back to China.
You're right. Yeah, we haven't talked about that, have we?
Her flight was in the air going one way, two Canadians were released because they were in prison there, but they had health reasons, and so they were sent out on simultaneous flights from China. And I've also learned that a couple that was detained, that an American couple, has also been released. So that's a new one to me. It's not wasn't publicized much in Canada, but we heard a lot about these two, a diplomat and a businessman that were retained.
Yeah, well, wow. And you know, the Chinese arrested them within a few days of when she was arrested, claimed that it wasn't political blackmail. It was nothing like that. It was a legitimate case. Tried them, sentenced one of them, and released them, like you say, within hours of each other when Huawei got her release, and passed each other in the air going each way. But there was no connection. No? It was just a coincidence that they happened to get sick that day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No,
that wasn't a prisoner exchange of any sort.
Oh, Christ, no.
The visual of them passing in the air is going to be a movie about that, maybe.
Yeah, that's probably about right over top of you, Sandy.
We didn't feel it.
That's funny.
You didn't feel the world changing as they went by?
Well, no, oftentimes we do feel the earth move, but yes. We didn't then.
Now, wait a minute. Your young son is sitting here. We're not talking about that.
All right, getting back to computer topics. if you guys have a link to the document, then you also have links to some follow-up stuff that we had talked about in previous meetings. One we already talked about with Dave was disconnecting your Roku, but we also had a question about if Pluto is a planet, and there is a great article here from The Atlantic that goes into the history of why it's in question whether it's a planet and how the planetary societies have dealt with it, how astronomers consider it versus planetary scientists consider it. And so it's a fun read. It doesn't take very long, and it's interesting information. And it seems like whether Pluto is a planet is all about your perspective. And I also wanted to mention there is a link to Phone Arena, because we had that talk about iPhones, iPhone 13s, Pro Maxes versus the new iPad Mini. And this is a link to Phone Arena, which pits the two devices up against each other. We are talking about the most recent devices. So it would be the iPhone 13 Pro Max versus the new iPad Mini. And they both have the same CPU. They have slightly different camera arrangements, and they have different storage. But essentially, the question is, what's the difference between the devices? Why would you pick one and not the other? And the cameras, the battery, and the screen may be the reasons that you'd prefer one over the other. The screens, the iPad Mini is a great price point, but it has an LCD display. It's like a 1080 LCD display. The iPhone 13 Pro Max, quite a bit more expensive, almost twice the price, has an LED or an OLED display that's a Retina display. And then there's some battery performance increases, one over the other. It is a very straightforward table. And so if you're looking for that kind of information, that link will take you to a table comparing those two devices. We talked a little bit about the iPhone 13, and the industry, at least the tech journalists, seem to conclude that it is not a revolutionary device. It's an iterative device. If you're coming from an iPhone 6, it makes sense to get it. But if you have an iPhone 12, there's no reason to buy it. You can wait for the next one. And what else was on the follow-ups here is iCloud. I know I still have a
technical question for you.
Oh, okay.
Are you still using those magnetic power cords, magnetic connection power cords?
Yep, all the time, every day.
Okay. Do you have any trouble with them?
Got one right here.
That won't they all of a sudden they just stop connecting?
Occasionally. And what I've done is I've just bought a bunch of those plugs.
Well, I was looking for just the plugs, and I'm using them on Apple things, so I need Lightning plugs, but I can't find a source of just plugs that I want.
I couldn't find a source, a reasonable source for plugs in Mexico. But while I was in Alaska, it was very easy to get a hold of in the United States.
Oh, you didn't buy them off Amazon?
I bought them off Amazon in the United States.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to go look again. I ordered some with more cords and plugs.
I think you have to keep watching for them. I think that they're suffering from these shortages that we've seen plague other parts of the market, where things are available and then they're not.
Yeah.
Because I went through a period of time looking for a gross of them and absolutely couldn't find them. And then when I was buying them from Amazon while I was in Alaska, they were all over the place.
Yeah, the other thing I got, like on the new iPad, I was using a magnetic connector on it, and all of a sudden it quit charging. It would, like, the little lightning up in the corner, little battery up in the corner, showed green and showed lightning, the lightning bolt. But over the period of the all night, it didn't go up. It didn't charge any. It just stayed at 72.
You know, that sounds like it may be something to do with your charger and less to do with the magnetic connector.
Well, that's the cable. What seems to be what I found. Like, I swapped out, I moved to a different charger and another charger and then to a cube. Finally, I went to just a straight, the charger that came with it, and it works fine, seems to.
So this is the charger with the magnetic cable and the connector?
No.
This is just the original charger and connector.
And the original lightning cable. Now, I did that just this morning before we had to go to town. I'm going to swap back to, no, I can't. On this one, it's got the, it doesn't have the big USB connector on it. It's got a little guy coming out of the cube itself.
Oh, yeah. You'd need a compatible cable or an adapter.
Yeah, something.
That would allow power to go through the adapter.
Well, but I did find one cube that did the charger did work on, but it just, like, all of a sudden last night or two nights ago, it stopped working out of something it's been working on for a month, and nothing else changed. It was, same charger, same cord, the same connector. It was a magnetic connector, and it just stopped charging, but it was showing it was charging.
Yeah, I don't know if you have the ability to check how much current's coming out of that charger, but that's how the electronics work, is they work until they don't. And it could very well be that your chargers just stopped performing.
Yeah, but I tried a couple different cubes, and I didn't get it until I went to a Apple cube. Then it started working again.
So were you trying that with the Apple cable? Because maybe there's something about the cable and the magnetic connector that's the issue.
Yeah, I know. Nothing changed.
I had one experience where the magnetic cable picked up some debris that was magnetic. I wasn't getting a charge off of it, and I found this like dust stuff on it that was magnetically connected to the cable. I immediately unplugged it, and then I cleaned all that stuff off, and then everything went back to working correctly.
Yeah, like I've got a spray can, an aerosol
aerosol can of electronic cleaner. And
like contact clean.
I've been cleaning like my magnetic connectors when they stop functioning. And the spines, it seems I clean and swap them around and eventually start working again. But I was just curious, you were still using them, but your solution is what I have in mind, to swap out the plug-in and go from there.
Yeah, I've got them all over the house. I mean, I've got them here so I can plug my phone in while we're talking.
I'm addicted to them, you know.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I've got them in the car now so I can just connect. And I've been using them when I attach like different cell phones as webcams. This isn't a good example, but I've got a pack over here with a cell phone and a tripod and all that. And I use a magnetic connector on the bottom of it because it's so easy to assemble and put on a tripod. And if somebody kicks the cable, I don't have to worry about it breaking anything because it'll just kick it off the magnet.
Well, I'm so used to them now, I'm scared I'm going to jerk something right off the wall when I walk away with my phone. I've got the technique.
Bill, you're still supposed to practice best practices, right?
Yes, I know. But I've got this thing. I just grab the phone and with my little finger, I flick the magnetic piece off and walk away. You know, and it's in the car everywhere by my bed. They're all the same anyway.
Hey, so, you know, another thing is that most of those do not allow for a fast charge. They don't allow for a lot of current to come through them.
No, I noticed that.
And so using it on an iPad, you might find that you're waiting a lot longer for the pad to charge up than if you were to just use I don't even know what charger they're putting in those new the iPad that you guys just got. But it seems like people were complaining they weren't fast chargers to begin with.
It's not critical because this thing is plugged in more than it's unplugged, so it's always charged up.
Sure,
that's it. That's the end of my request.
All right. Well, what else we got going on? We are reaching the end of our meeting. Is there any last minute things we've got to make sure we've covered? We got the phone. We got iCloud. I was going to start by saying I still don't quite know what the new iCloud Plus is. I see Judy's gone, so she doesn't have anything new to report to us about her new services. Cheryl, you guys use an iCloud. You pay for an iCloud. Did your service upgrade to iCloud Plus like Judy's did?
Bill's the one that does the iCloud. I just pay the subscription fee. I'm not sure.
Okay.
What we have.
She was notified through email that her account was automatically updated with all the new services at no extra price.
Oh, well, maybe Bill.
That was last week. And it's called iCloud Plus, which is a new branding.
So we'll have to look into it.
Yeah, the fact that you're not aware of it makes me think maybe it's a rebranding of one particular tier. If you're not at that tier, maybe you're not even aware of it.
I don't know, I'm not sure what tier we have.
Well, something to think about.
Well, once I get us out of this country... I'm very busy doing, you know, sending all of my confirmations and everything. So, yeah.
And I'm busy winterizing my RV fleet at the moment.
Are you guys going to fly down to Mexico?
No, we're flying from Calgary to Great Falls.
Yeah.
Montana, and our car is being shipped, and this is on October 14th. So we've got 2 weeks, and we're out of here. So I'm busy buying insurance. All that
we hope stuff. We're out of here.
Is the U.S. letting you guys through now?
They'll let us fly in. They won't let us drive
in.
So our car is going one way, and we're jumping over the border. It's just costing us a lot of money. We have to have our COVID tests, so I'm busy booking COVID tests, and I'm, you know, paying for insurance. And
yeah, we can fly in and out.
Is the car being driven?
Yeah,
no, it's not. It's going on the back of a car transport. Hauler. You know, car. Yeah.
Okay.
One of those big transport trucks. So everybody that's going on the charter plane, their vehicles are going on the transport truck first thing in the morning, and then we fly out about noon.
Well, I hope they all get through.
I'm going to take a couple bottles of wine with us on the charter and have a champagne flight for 40 minutes.
I think this is a real commitment to not being in Canada during the winter.
Where will you?
It's a real commitment to want to be in San Carlos for the winter. That's what it is.
That's the other thing. The COVID insurance, like the top up to our regular travel insurance, How they put it is that because there's a travel advisory about COVID in the countries that we are going to, they say it's not an unforeseen incident if you get exposed to COVID. So they will not cover you on your travel insurance. So what they do is they sell you a top-up. In Mexico, it's about $15 a day insurance for COVID. In the United States, it's three times that. So limiting our time in the United States is quite advisable.
Well, their reasoning, the insurance company's reasoning is this, that it's extremely expensive to get sick or wind up in an emergency in the States, not so much in Mexico.
Yeah.
That's exactly the reason.
Yeah. We're always scared to get sick in the United States.
There's
it's
a couple
so
of companies that that are doing it this way, that if you are double vaccinated, your premium and everything is the same. But if you're unvaccinated, you get like $1 million coverage. If you are double vaccinated or fully vaccinated, you get 5 million coverage. So let's see, the only allowance that they're giving is they'll just cover you for more expenses. If you're vaccinated, the chances are less. So it doesn't make sense to me that the risk versus the premiums amount.
Hey, Jim, I just muted your microphone. Throughout our meeting at various times, we've had this static kind of wind sound coming off of your microphone, and it was just now doing it.
Jimmy's breaking wind again.
No, I think that was James. It was
James. I'm James.
Oh, James. I see.
Yeah, James is.
I just put it back on. Can you hear the hiss now?
No. In fact, when you've been speaking, it sounds excellent. But these have been brief moments where you're not talking, and all of a sudden, it's like wind is blowing into your microphone. It is not.
He's got his hand. Maybe you're touching the microphone.
Is this it?
Not at all. This is the kind of noise you'd expect if you're blowing into a microphone.
Yeah.
Or maybe a cat's tail wigging across or something. I don't know.
I don't even know where the microphone is on this thing, but sorry about that.
That might be the reason. It might be that you're holding and touching the microphone or something.
Yeah. I'm getting a crackle now from somebody.
That was me hitting my microphone.
No, there you go. There you go. So,
I'm out of here.
Has a dual citizenship, and we think
everyone tech on, and hope Shatner has a good trip.
Yeah, all right, Bill.
All right,
we'll see you later.
Bye.
All right, Bill. We'll see you.
Bye bye.
We're going to sing everyone out of this group. What was that, Cheryl?
Yes. Somebody offered to a friend that has dual citizenship has offered to drive it across. Then we can just take a very small hop from Vancouver to Bellingham, you know.
Are you saying that your car can go to the States across the border, but you can't?
Well,
That's the reason.
We're not sure about this, but if it's driven by somebody who is an American citizen coming up to the border with a dual citizenship, they have a car it might work. Who knows? We'll have to test it.
I've heard some people doing that, and
report back later.
They're doing it two different ways. One, they're hiring somebody to do it, and then it's considered essential because it's part of their job. The other way is that there are forms that you can fill out and say that, you know, you have given this person permission to import your vehicle for you. It's all a matter of paying and filling in the documentation.
We don't have to do it till January, so we'll have to get the particulars. We'll be in touch, so anybody hears anything about that. And I just hope that by January they're saying okay, but that might be a little bit pie in the sky.
On Facebook, join the group Canadian Snowbirders, Canadian Snowbird or Snowbird Information for Canadians. Search a couple of those, and they've got a lot of people doing a lot of different ways. That's where I got my contacts for our company.
Oh, there's that sound again, Jim. James.
Oh, that's me. Okay, I know what I'm doing. I'm touching the side of the laptop.
Okay, so you must be rubbing up against the microphone when you do that.
Wherever it is.
Wherever it is.
It's a MacBook.
Look, Yeah, look for a tiny pinhole so small you really can't see it, and that's probably it.
Don't keep your hands up in the air while you speak. While you're on.
That's right. The whole time you're here, you should be talking like this.
Hands free.
Okay.
Right. Sorry for the trouble I caused.
Well, guys, why don't we wrap this up? It's getting past my time. I'm sure we're going to run out of time in just a moment here. But it's been a great meeting, and always happy to have you guys every Tuesday, 10 o'clock. In fact, there goes the timer. It says we got 10 minutes until they're going to cut us off. But we've definitely been at it for more than an hour, and I've run out of topics for the moment. Unless you guys have any last-minute things, I just want to say goodbye and have a good week. Tech on until next Tuesday, and we'll see you next week.
Have a great week.
You too, Fred. Everybody have a good time. Check back sccclub.org if you're looking for links or any information from this meeting. I'll have it there probably by next week. That's how long it's been taking me. Bye, Paul.
Au revoir.
Bye, Cheryl. See you, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Adios. Bye-bye. And that was the San Carlos Computer Club. We try and meet every Tuesday about 10 o'clock. We have a virtual meeting, discuss topics and news. We also try and help each other with our computer problems and what else? And talk about our situations with like COVID and whatever. We are a group of people that are affiliated with the San Carlos area in Sonora, Mexico. And so that's how a lot of us know each other. We used to meet in person. Well, until next Tuesday, I am Scott Stimson, your host, your friendly neighborhood tech guy. If you have any tech problems out there anywhere on the internet, I'd appreciate you getting a hold of me, scott@internationalcs.net. I can probably reach through the internet, touch your computer, and solve your problems. That's what we're all about, our computer solutions. Give us a call or an email or look for us on Facebook or check me out on Twitter. I'm Cyberpunk in a lot of things, spelled with P. Until Tuesday, tech on. Oh, wait, we don't want to do that.